Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ty Cobb and Stanley Paha talk about the newly created Nevada monuments, and they are not happy about them. Plus, on the Power Pundit panel, Mylon Hawkins, Brian Wachter, and Elisa Cafferata. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Ty Cobb. He's a former special assistant to President Reagan for National Security Affairs and noted Nevada author Stanley Paha. Welcome to you both. And the topic today is the monuments that were created in the waning moments of the Obama administration in Nevada. That would be Gold Butte and Basin and Range. Your thoughts on these, Ty?
This was excessive government overreach protecting lands from legitimate development that include only a few selected regions that are really worth protecting, where the antiquities are truly valuable.
And Stan, you were on the program previously, and you said if you're going to protect areas in Nevada, these are not the ones to protect.
That's true. There's other places much more worthy than eastern Clark County, east of Las Vegas, an area that it can be replicated and duplicated several other places in Nevada.
At this point in time, administration is looking at reducing the size, but really the only thing that they've talked about reducing that sounds practical to me at this point is for Mesquite for their water supply. Are there conversations going on to reduce this even further?
Absolutely. The Secretary of the Interior, Ryan Zinke, has stated that he believed that the designations of these monuments contains territory far in excess of what is truly valuable. They will be designating smaller areas and trying to eliminate the Obama administration's designation of so much land, bigger than the state of Rhode Island, Sam, to be offset as a national monument.
Now, the presidents have the ability to designate these areas. Have we had a president in the past who reduced the sizes of these? Okay, Stan.
Oh, yes. Several, even right up to President John F. Kennedy. The noted one would be Woodrow Wilson during 1914, 1915, reducing the size of what's now Olympia State, Olympia National Park. It was a monument at that time by more than two-thirds.
And where are we with this? Because obviously you're going to get tremendous pushback, not just from Democrats in general, but certainly Congresswoman Dina Titus is not going to take a back seat on this.
That's true. Of course, in Utah, it's been decided. But as far as the national monuments in Nevada, Basin and Range is not going to be affected, but Gold Butte is to be reduced in size. But we haven't heard exactly what the ultimate size will be.
This is going to sound like a silly question, Ty, but I'm known for that. how much did Harry Reid and Clive and Bundy have to do with the Gold Butte designation?
It's an interesting question. With respect to the Bundy family, they are Bunkerville ranchers, and feel that designation of these monuments would infringe on the areas where they graze their cattle. I'm no fan of the Bundys being able to have their cattle roam around without any charges against them. So I'm kind of a bit of chagrin to be somewhat allied with the Bundy view on this. Now, Harry Reid has been a big supporter of designating wide swaths of land for protection.
And over the years, Harry Reid also, it was very obvious in his career, he decided that environmentalists don't live in the environment, they live in the cities. And he spent the majority of his time in Congress going to that point of view, raising up lots of money from that. Your thoughts on that, Stan?
Well, in other words, as Ty was just briefly mentioned, the Antiquities Act of 1906 specifies only the area to be protected and very little beyond that. But Gold Butte is at least 5-6 times larger than it should be.
That's the size of Rhode Island, and as Stan has walked every square mile of that, and he knows the antiquities of where they are. They absolutely should be protected, but we don't need to do a designation of something called a monument that is 100 times the size of the areas that really ought to be set aside.
Not quite every square mile, Ty, but in other words, I jeep a lot and hike a lot.
And for those who don't know, you've written the book on Nevada in terms of the geography and topography of the state.
Yeah, thank you. What I'm amazed is that the overreach of the people that favor Gold Butte. They said that the whole Clive and Bundy thing reduced visitation to the monument. How do they know that? There's hardly any. Patrol, BLM patrol. The economic benefits for Mesquite has not been measured, but nevertheless, excessive claims have been made to maintain.
And it's been largely, Stan, I think, by the outdoor retail merchants.
Oh, yes.
REI, for example.
And Patagonia.
Especially.
Yeah, and I don't believe these people have ever really gone through this area.
Yeah, follow the money.
Okay, and to be fair, that's how they make their income, is working towards the outdoors. What's the economic repercussions for Nevada to have monuments this large?
Well, it's very significant, Sam, because these are areas that have great natural resource potential, some for oil and gas and others for minerals. And I don't believe that there's any reason why they can't coexist, that we could have legitimate economic interests in this area, exploiting our vast natural resource base while still protecting the areas that contain historical artifacts and antiquities.
And, you know, Stan, does this stop you, for example, from going out in your Jeep into these areas? Do you have to ride horseback to get into them?
No, it's not. It's not like a wilderness area where once you get to the boundary, you have to hike in or walk in. No, it does not.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. More on this when we come back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner Addiction Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ty Cobb, former Special Assistant to President Reagan for National Security, and noted Nevada author Stanley Pahar. You wanted to make a comment, Stan, about Gold Butte.
Yes, the claims by the partisans for Gold Butte National Monument make some of the most extravagant claims that are patently false.
For example, they
said that this is Nevada's piece or Nevada's part of the Grand Canyon. Hey, the Grand Canyon.
Not nowhere close.
That's right. The Colorado River and the Grand Canyon pinches out about 18 miles east of the Nevada-Arizona line, so it could not be part of Nevada's piece of the Grand Canyon. And then the economic benefits, secondly, have been over-exaggerated.
Okay, so when you talk about that, you're talking about tourism. The claims on the environmentalist side is that this will increase and bring millions of tourism dollars. What's the realistic, Ty, assessment of how much money that brings to Nevada?
Designating the monuments? Or mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to bring any there, because what it's really going to do is reduce the potential for economic exploitation of the resources of the area. The idea that tourists are going to come swarming into the Nevada desert to hike up mountains to find these few sites with valuable antiquities is an extravagant claim that bears no relation to reality.
And if you look at the Great Basin National Park, the tourism right. there is minimal.
Absolutely. It was created in 1986. It's a beautiful place in the Great Basin, Great Basin National Park, east of Ely. But the economic impact on Ely is just a trace at best, hardly.
Yeah, I mean, we've not seen a great expansion of Baker in terms of tourism.
That's true. What we really want to do here, because as you know, Sam, I served on the board of the Nevada Rock Art Foundation, which is dedicated to protecting these valuable antiquities. And I think I can't speak for the organization, but we are wary of the overreach, because it's going to result in a setback because of public opinion will not support these extravagant claims. And Stan has walked this area, and he's a great advocate for protecting those sites which really need to be set aside.
Okay, so in your mind, Stan, what needs to be done? What can the Secretary of the Interior do to step back but at the same time protect the antiquities that are there?
Well, I would like to see Gold Butte National Monument just reduced perhaps as much as 80-85% to cover a swath of land in the central part of the Gold Butte National Monument to protect five or six very significant Indian sites. But the rest of it is hot, arid land in the summertime. I'd advise people, if they want to go out there and explore those significant areas, to carry water, have an adequate car, because 110, 115 degrees in the summertime is no time to recall all those nice things that Gold Butte proponents say that this is such a great place.
And realistically, you know, we're not talking about hundreds of thousands of people who are going to be going out there to visit these sites.
Yeah, I'm a little amazed myself, Sam, why anyone would be a proponent of this unless they have some kind of a inner objection to the exploitation of the land to mine the minerals or to utilize the oil and gas reserves of that area. I think you'd have to ask the proponents of this vast declaration of lands to be offset just why they really are doing that, and ask them if they've ever been there.
Well, you know, you talked to the congressional delegation, and their response, including Senator Reid, was, oh, it's fabulous, it's beautiful, it's amazing. So they've certainly been out there.
Sam, we don't disagree. As Stan said, there are areas that are truly meet that definition. Let's protect them. But we don't need to offset land the size of the state of Rhode Island to protect the few areas where the valuable antiquities lie.
Got about 30 seconds left, Stan. Have we heard from the mining companies? Have they publicly or privately said?
Presently in eastern Clark County, there's not a large active mine. And most of them are in central and northeastern Nevada, of course. But on the point of Clive and Bundy was mentioned, the Great Basin, the Gold Butte people say that visitors count went down during that time. Well, there's no checkpoint south of Mesquite to check all this. And to get to even the good, the significant areas of Gold Butte, the road in there is 30 miles of a twisty, very very inferior county road with potholes. They're just to build up the infrastructure there would cost a lot of money. It's not worth it.
All right, and that's where we've got to leave it. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Likely to be continued. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mylon Hawkins is here. She's Vice President of Interface Computer Associates. Brian Wachter is Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. And Elisa Cafferata is now the lead of Cafferata and Company. Pleasure to have you all here on the program. I want to start, we're taping this on Monday after the Women's March over the weekend. Your thoughts on that, Elisa?
Well, it was a great success in Reno and then the following day in Las Vegas from all accounts. And I was just happy to be part of it and thrilled to see the crowds as big as last year. But I think Mylon is one of the organizers and she probably has more insights for you.
I guess I lost control of the show. Go ahead, Mylon.
That's quite all right. What we heard from the police, this was bigger. Last year, they said we had over 10,000. This year, we were told, well, we were close to 12,000. So it was bigger, it was very enthusiastic, and we had wonderful energy, and I think we can look positively ahead to 2018.
Brian, as you observe this, and obviously the Vegas March was even bigger, you know, it's great to have the march. It's great to have people get together and put out their point of view. But at the end of the day, the issues are still there.
Well, I agree, Sam. And I think the big thing is what we're waiting to see is are these women marches and these groups that are getting together and are providing more civic engagement, are they going to have an effect at the federal government level? Certainly at the state and local government well, but is it going to parlay into a legislative success? And I think that's what we're waiting most to see if that develops.
Well, it already has had tremendous number of successes at the federal level.
For example,
the promise that the president made was they were going to repeal the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and they have failed miserably at that. And every time that they've tried it, and that's because of the grassroots organizing and the people coming mm-hmm. forward and saying, "No, we want this bill, and you need to keep it in place." And so they've had to resort to, you know, rulemaking and regulations behind closed doors where this grassroots organizing hasn't had effect. But we've had tons of victories.
Yeah. And let us not forget Alabama. And let us not forget the recent election in Wisconsin in a district that has not turned D for, 100 years. There are things that are already happening. And, you know, America goes through this all the time. So it will not be surprising if we see a sea change in 2018 and another sea change in 2020. But this is a whole different ballgame now, Sam. It's not, you know, the little lady is just not making coffee and tea anymore, honey. She's out there doing some real action. There are more women than ever that are running for public office at every single level. And, you know, all women do not agree 100% on all of the issues. But this is a good thing, I think, to see. It's a good thing all across the country.
Okay, Brian, I'm going to play devil's advocate here at the threat of being attacked across the desk here. The inability to get rid of Obamacare seemed to be more that the Republicans didn't have a plan to replace Obamacare, even though they'd fought it for so many years. What are your thoughts?
I think we're seeing on both sides of the aisle, and I think it's great when any constituent group starts hammering on doors and making their points known to legislators and those grassroots and those regulations. Absolutely. I could be more excited when more people get involved. But I think what the fundamental issue here for me is that you have political parties that are really good at campaigning. And I think to the previous speaker's experience, we have seen Democratic victories in these special elections and to fill these Senate seats. But what we haven't seen is a transition to governing. Whether it's Republicans or Democrats, I would say that both sides, because we haven't seen this transition into how we govern. And I think the showdown that we saw in the federal government over the last 3 days is emblematic of that concern when we have to shut things down to get a free and open debate on the floor of the Senate. And when Democrats were in charge, it was the same issue. So I think there needs to be more emphasis on what we do after elections and how we actually start governing, than, you know, being more worried about, you know, which seats are up and which seats aren't and who's going to be taken out and who's not. We need a return to governing.
All right. So, Elisa, now with Cafferata and Company, what's your advice to clients to go along that road?
Well, I do agree that, you know, governing would be a really great thing, although I just thinking over the last couple of years, it's hard to kind of start laying the blame, but I think everyone could come to the table with an elevated level. I think our advice to clients is always just you want to educate individual legislators and make sure they understand your issues and you can put forward good policy. Planned Parenthood got a lot of great policies in this last legislative session with bipartisan support. And I think that's the important thing is to remember to educate legislators from both parties.
And I agree that the same thing, really, Mylan, mm-hmm. Which is how do you transition this to governing?
Well, for one thing, I think we start electing adults and people who really have the qualifications to do the job.
But are they willing to do it? When the pressure of campaigning is such that
and
you
that
expose your entire life.
Yeah, that leads me to the next problem. There is far too much money in politics. And somehow or other, one of the reforms that we have to do is get the big money out of politics.
And good luck with
good
that.
Luck with that.
Good luck
but
with that.
But I do not, and I don't mean this to sound grim, but I see our country sliding, regardless of what the leadership is, further and further behind as other nations rise up. China is about to become the new Rome. We are going to lose our position in the world because of the way we operate. And we've taken our democracy and we've kind of made a sham out of it.
Okay, you get the last 10 seconds, Brian.
Well, I would just say I disagree that the money is the problem in politics. I mean, for the last decade, you know, working in Nevada, there seems to be just as much money on one side as there is on the other. And I agree. I wish we spent less on political campaigns. But if we don't have a return or a plan to start governing, then I think these women marches and these marches on D.C. and all these activist groups that are getting together and want to see change are going to be really disappointed when that change doesn't occur.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, Paul Enos talks to Ned Ross of the Nevada Retail Energy Supplies Association. We'll see you then.